Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny guy, the blessings are running down. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm half a class of her own. I'm too
blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I'm so glad that you have tuned in with me. We've been studying having faith in the midst of trouble, and our subtopic for tonight is praise Him in advance. Praise Him in advance, because in the midst of everything that's going on around you, you've got to learn to praise God and acknowledge the fact that He knows what He's doing and that everything is going to be all right. Why don't you bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give You glory, honor, and praise. I bless and I lift Thee up tonight. I thank You, Lord God, because You are truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I bless Your name, Lord, because You understand the hearts and the minds of Your people. You understand everything that we go through. And, oh God, we pray for those that are listening to this broadcast. We pray, oh God, for families everywhere. Lord God, as they go through the different seasons of their life, I pray that they would understand that You are still in control. You're still in control of their lives, their families, oh God, their finances. And I pray that You would truly touch right now. Move in a special way, oh God. Encourage that one that is discouraged right now. Bless, Lord God, and move in a special way, oh God, in the hearts of Your people. We thank You, Lord, that You've brought us this far by faith. We could not have made it without You, dear Lord, and we truly thank You. Bless once again. I thank You so much for Your love and for Your kindness towards us. Move in a special way, and Lord, we say thanks to You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Once again, dear friend, I thank you so much for joining me. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to listen to this broadcast. And I pray that whatever is said will be a blessing to you. And I pray that I'm able to stir you up to go and do more study in the Word of God. Because the Word of God will sustain you and will keep you and will help you in your daily walk as a Christian. Tonight we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 42, the end of Isaiah chapter 40, and if we get an opportunity, we'll be looking a little bit at Psalms 148 and 149. And so let us begin in Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at the first verse. And once again, our topic for tonight is praise Him in advance. And why do I use that topic, praise Him in advance? I use that topic because of the fact that I realize that many times we're so focused on just the problem, and we forget that Jesus is the problem solver, and that we are not to focus so much on the problem, but focus on the problem solver. And in addition to the fact that when we praise God, God who is the author and the finisher of our faith, He understands everything that we go through. And He will, with every problem, He will make a way for us. He said that He will not allow us to be tempted more than that we are able, but He will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. And I just want you to know, dear friend, that you should not be discouraged at all, but that you should understand that God is your helper, He is your strength, and that you just need to put your trust in Him, because God is already making a way for you. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the owl shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreads forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from this prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar does inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Dear friend, I want to encourage you to praise God in advance. It does not matter what the situation looks like. It does not matter what the enemy will put in front of you to try to block your blessing. I want you to know that God is still in control, and that God sees the challenges that you face. He sees the teardrops from your eyes, and that God understands your heart. He sees everything, and he is with you to help you and to guide you right now. The Bible says, behold my servant, Psalms 42, and I don't know why I keep saying Psalms, I'm in Isaiah. Isaiah 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, referring to Jesus. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Behold my servant, mine elect. Jesus was the elect, is the elect, the one that was sent to die for the sins of the world. He is the elect, in whom my soul delighted. So God took delight in his son Jesus and sent him to die on the cross for us. And the Bible says, I have put my spirit upon him. And I don't know if you recall when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, that the Spirit, like a dove, just overshadowed him. And then, of course, the heavens opened and a voice declared that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So the Bible tells us that God delighted, he enjoyed his Son, Jesus, coming to die on the cross for us. It says, I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. For those who thought that the Gentiles were just second rate and that God did not have us in his plan all along, the Bible declares that he was going to come to the Gentiles. And so we see it was not an afterthought for God to include the Gentiles. But even prior to the New Testament in Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament, the Bible was already talking about the Gentiles and the fact that the Gentiles were going to come into the fold as well, that the Gentiles were going to be offered that opportunity for salvation as well as the Jews. Look at what the Bible says. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. In other words, we don't know anything about being just until we meet face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, until we realize that we have sinned against God and we realize that we need to repent, turn away from our sins, and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So we see that in verse 2, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. So Jesus did not go into the street and proclaim anything. What he did was he walked and he talked and he healed the sick. And also the only place where he, you know, got a little bit angry or raised his voice or anything like that was actually in the temple. When he went into the temple and he ran out the merchants and those who were making money, instead of trying to bring the people sincerely to God. That is the only place where you see that Jesus came in and he, you know, really ran them out of the temple for their behavior. The Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. So we see that when Jesus came to do his business, which was to die on the cross for us, he did not become discouraged. Now, we can see in the Garden of Gethsemane that he struggled a little bit. You know, when he felt the weight of our sins upon him, he began to pray. The Bible declares until his sweat became as blood. And so we see where he persevered in prayer before God, and that ultimately when he really came to grips with the fact that he was going to continue to do what he actually came here to do, he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Or Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we see that although he felt the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders, that Jesus did not become discouraged, but he went on to the cross and gave his life for us. The Bible says in verse 4, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. So nothing was set in order until Jesus came and gave his blood on Calvary for us, died on the cross for us. And you see that he came to set judgment in the earth. Verse 5 says, thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. So we see the Bible said he that created the heavens, talking about God, and he spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he giveth breath unto the people. So who gives us breath? God does. God does, and the Spirit to them that walk therein. And he gave us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So God gives us breath, and he gives us his Holy Spirit. And verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand. Isn't it beautiful to know that God not only called us, but he said that he would hold our hand. And give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. So God gave his son Jesus to be our light. Look at verse 7. What was he going to do when he came? What did Jesus come to do? The Bible says to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I was just saying to some people that I finally understood what this scripture meant fully when a friend of mine told me about some young men that were held captive in another country. And when they were held captive, it turns out that they were just thrown into a dark, damp room, and they were held there for a whole week. So we see that prison for some countries is very different from the United States. The United States provides 3 meals a day and you know, mattresses, light, what have you, and every comfort. You know, well, not every comfort, but, you know, much more comfort than some places. Well, some countries do not give prisoners that much comfort. They do not get a nice soft mattress and pillows and what have you. These three young men that were being held in this particular country, they were thrown into a dark room that was damp and very unpleasant. And so we see that this verse in verse 7 refers to the fact that the prison house is dark because, in fact, some places, in some countries, a prison is a very dark room. So the Bible declares to us that Jesus came to open the blind eyes. Anyone who does not realize that they are sinning against God and that they need to repent, Jesus came to open their eyes. He came to give understanding. He came to give discernment. He came to help us to see that our life is only worth living if we accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. And so we see that he came to open our eyes, to help us to understand who God really is and the fact that we should be serving God. But it also says to bring out the prisoners from the prison. And yes, literally, it is referring to a real prison, but we could also reflect upon the fact that there are some people who are in prison but who are physically not in prison. In other words, they could be trapped in hatred, trapped in prejudice, trapped in a life of addiction, trapped in a life of disappointment and heartache, trapped in illness and in all manners of diseases. A person can be in prison and not be in a real prison when we were referring to the jailhouse or the state prisons or what have you. It does not take a building for a person to be in prison, because if a person has not forgiven others who have harmed them, if a person has not forgiven themselves for how they have harmed other people, if a person is still fearful of their abuser, if a person is still fearful of this addiction that they've been trying to get over and they're just trapped in that situation, if a person has not made peace with their family and allowed God to restore their heart and restore their mind, then that person is in prison. There are many ways to be in prison. A person could be in prison physically, or they could be in prison emotionally. And so, dear friend, you have to figure out which one applies to you. If you are in prison physically, then we pray for you that God will help you to get out of that situation soon. But if you're in prison emotionally, once again, we're praying for you. But you see, you need to understand that you must have faith in God, and you must seek his face and ask him to help you to not be trapped emotionally, to stop being angry at those who have harmed you, to stop being angry at society and the system as it is, and stop being angry at the things that you cannot change. Because, dear friend, what you cannot change, why spend all your time complaining about it and making yourself sad over it? If it's something that you cannot change, dear friend, leave it. But understand this, that God has a plan for your life, and that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you so that you could understand who God is for real, and the fact that he created the heavens and the earth, he stretched everything out in front of you, and all he asks is that you would receive that free gift that he gave to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, "The Lord, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Jesus was given to us as our light, as our direction, as our guidance, so that we can understand that we need to serve the true and the living God. Look at verse 8. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." You see, dear friend, when you begin to praise, make sure you're praising the right person. His name is Alpha and Omega. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Almighty God. He is who he said that he is. And when you pray, dear friend, make sure that you are praying to the Almighty God. Verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Now, this is your key verse, dear friend, to understand about praising God in advance. You see, when you are having trials and when you are having difficulties in your life, you must understand that the Bible says that even before things change in your life, it says even before they spring forth, I'm using a King James version, even before things change in your life, the Bible has already declared that God says that the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. So the former things are come to pass. In other words, the old things are already gone. You know, I'm not going to focus on yesterday, but I will focus on today, knowing that this is a brand new day and God is able to do great things in my life. He's able to do great things in your life. You see, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And so God is declaring already to us that even before Jesus came, it was prophesied in the Old Testament about him. And in our personal lives, we must understand that even before we see anything miraculous happening in our lives, even before we see our breakthrough, even before we see our deliverance, that God has already made a way for us. He has already declared it so. He has declared your victory in the name of Jesus. He has declared your peace in the name of Jesus. He has declared your joy in the name of Jesus. God has already spoken great things over your life, dear friend. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow the enemy to have you looking sad or depressed or down, but allow Jesus to pick you up right now. Allow Jesus to change your circumstance. Allow Jesus to show you the things that he has prepared for you. For, dear friend, the things that he has prepared for you are wonderful things. You have a great future. God is going to bless your business. God is going to bless the things that you do. If you want to write a book, go ahead and write your book. If you want to sing a song, go ahead and take your voice lessons or whatever you need to do to prepare to do that ministry in music. Whatever it is that you need to do, pray about it. Ask God to direct you, because God is going to help you in whatever venture you're trying to do, as long as the end result is that you want to give God glory. Because, dear friend, whatever we do in this life, we must understand that God must get the glory. It is not for fame. It is not for fortune. If God wants to give us those things afterwards, that's fine. I will take a brand new house. I will take a brand new car or whatever it is that God wants to give me. But the bottom line is what I do is not for money. It is not for vainglory. But what I do is to give God glory and honor. And if he wants to bless me with material things or bless you with material things thereafter, that is fine. But friend, whatever you do for God, let it not be for money or for fame, but be like Solomon in his request to God. When God asked him, what did he want? He said, give me knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And God turned around and said, because you did not ask me for riches, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. Dear friend, be careful what you ask God for, because he's going to give you just what you ask for. And make sure that you are not asking for whatever you're asking for the wrong reasons. Make sure that your heart is right, because God sees and he knows our heart. And he does want to bless you, dear friend. So whatever you are seeking God for, why don't you take a moment right now and praise him and thank him, because he hears your requests, he hears what you're saying, and he does want to bless you right now. Look at verse 10, dear friend. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. I love that verse. I love that verse. Sing unto the Lord a new song. How many times have you started to sing a song, and before you know it, God was just giving you new words, and out of the abundance of your heart, you just began to declare his goodness and just praise him out of your heart? I can't tell you, friend, how many times I have begun and I just started praying, and before you know it, I started singing, and God just began to give me these prophetic words of praise unto God. It is necessary and very needful for you to spend time praying and seeking God and allowing him to fill your mouth and your heart with words of praise for him. Look at verse 11. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Now, I imagine that when it says, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, that years ago, many people dwelled in caves. Many people dwelled, you know, in places that were built of stone. And so we're not just talking about the little insects that might dwell among rocks, but we're talking about people who actually lived in caves and around caves. And, you know, because remember, during ancient times, many people were nomadic. They moved a lot. And so it might have been necessary for them to dwell in some of the caves and perhaps allow their cattle to graze for a little while before moving on. And so, dear friend, when God refers to the people, you know, singing who dwelt in the area of the rocks, you know, he could have been referring to those people. And so we see that wherever you are in life, whoever you are, whatever your status in life, remember to give God praise. Let it not be said that you were too proud, that you did not have time, that you thought yourself too good to give God praise. You see, because it does not take much for God to just say the word, and everything that we have could be gone in one instant. If you remember the story of Job, Job was a godly man. But God removed that fence and allowed him to go through some things. Dear friend, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know the challenge that you're facing in your life. But I want you to understand that if God is allowing you to go through it, that means that he is going to give you the strength to reach to the other side. Don't think that he's going to leave you stuck. God is not going to leave you stuck, but he is going to work it out so that you will come out victorious. Dear friend, don't think that God does not hear you, because he does. Don't think that God does not understand you, because he does. God understands your heart. He sees everything. He sees the challenges that you face. And I want you to know that this is your time to praise God in advance. If you've never heard me say this before, I'll say it again, that what you believe in the supernatural will manifest in the natural. What do I mean by that? You must begin to ask God to help you to practice that measure of faith that he has given you. You see, God has given each of us that measure of faith, but we must begin to put our faith to practice. So, dear friend, when you do not see the light at the end of that tunnel, you must begin by faith to believe that the light is there. When you do not see the answer to your prayers, you must believe God as if you have already received the answer to your prayers. Don't ever be discouraged. If you even shed a tear, wipe the tears from your eyes and continue on. Why? Because suffering is a normal part of life. Challenges are a normal part of life. We must not focus on the challenge, but we must focus on what does God want me to learn through this situation? What does he want me to glean from this experience that I could go back and share with someone else? Who is following in my footsteps that I need to mentor? Who is coming behind me in that next generation that I need to set an example for? Somebody is watching your reaction to hardship. Somebody is watching your reaction to the challenges of life. And they want to know, will you keep your commitment to God, or will you allow a little bit of hardship to turn you around? Dear friend, if you're a brand new Christian, I want you to know that the enemy of your soul would want you to think that when trials come, you should turn around. But I want you to know that when trials come, this is when you should dig a little bit deeper. This is when you should pray a little bit more. This is when you should turn down your plate for a day or two and fast and seek the face of God. And understand this, that God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten your family, but he sees everything that you are going through. Look at verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. I know I read it before, and I read it again to you. Why? Because we must learn to give all glory and honor and praise to God, because he deserves it. He is God Almighty, and he is God all by himself. He does not need our help to be God. I don't know if this is a news flash for you, but God does not need your help to be God. He is God all by himself, and he has put everything out, running, up and running. He did not need Ever Ready. He did not need Duracell. He did not need any type of battery to get this world running. All he did was speak it into existence, and it began to appear out of nothing. God created something. Dear friend, your situation might seem like a nothing situation. It might seem as if nothing is working out the way you thought it should. But I want you to know that God is going to create something out of your nothing. Out of your nothing, God is going to begin to give you fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Just like in the wilderness, the Bible talks about water springing up in the midst of the wilderness. I want you to know, dear friend, that God right now is going to turn things around for you, and he is going to bring something out of nothing. Look at Psalms 148. Psalms 148, The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of the light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He had also established them forever and ever. He had made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his words, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Can I emphasize enough, dear friend, the importance of praise? Praise will get you out of your melancholy. Praise will get you out of a bad mood. I want you to know, dear friend, that when you begin to praise God, shackles are broken. When you begin to praise God, demons have to flee. They have to run. They have to hide. Why? Because when you begin to praise God, dear friend, things begin to happen. I love that song. When the praises go up, as the praises go up, the blessings come down. It is so true, dear friend. Why don't you begin to praise God right now? Let's take a moment. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We honor you, dear Lord. I thank you for this time of studying with your children. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless right now. We praise you. We honor you. We adore you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us praise him. Dear friend, praise him in advance. Praise him in advance. People might not wonder why you would praise him. When they look at your situation and when they look at all of the things that you have been through, they will wonder why it is that you still have praise upon your lips. But I want you to know, dear friend, that we just cannot make it without praising God. We just cannot make it. And I want you just to make it your habit every day, just to take time out of your schedule and praise God. Verse 14 says, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 149, verse 1 through 5 says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. You know, this sounds like a scripture that I've read already. I love when the writer, David, declares that we should sing aloud. Aloud. In other words, our praise doesn't always have to be quiet. We don't always have to whisper our praise, but our praise can be loud. We can sing loudly and praise our God. Why? Because he deserves the praise. So, dear friend, I want you to use the scriptures, use the Psalms, memorize scripture, whatever you need. Understand that God wants you to praise him. Look back at Isaiah, or I should say go forward to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. What does it say? Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Is there someone right now that needs strength? I want you to know, dear friend, that if you need strength, God is giving you strength right now. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Dear friend, is that you? Is that you needing strength right now? Well, God has given you strength. The Bible declares that even young people will faint, will get tired, and even some young men will fall. But those of us who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Dear friend, the word renew means to replenish. It means to give back, to restore. That word signifies that God wants to give back to us that which the devil has stolen from us. Young man, allow God to strengthen you. Young woman, allow God to strengthen you. Their grandfather, grandmother, allow God to strengthen you. Mother, father, cousin, auntie, uncle, allow God to strengthen you. Son, daughter, allow God to strengthen you. God wants to renew you right now. He wants to replenish you. He wants to refresh you. That word renew signifies a refreshing in your spirit, where God wants to refresh your heart. I want you to know, dear friend, that sometimes it's so easy just to begin to drag and begin to get tired. But God does not want you to remain tired. If you have become tired, He wants to refresh you right now. He wants to give you the strength that you need to continue doing the ministry, the strength that you need to continue encouraging someone who needs strength right now, someone who needs their spirit renewed right now and replenished. God says in verse 31, the word of God says in verse 31, Isaiah 40 verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I love that. I was at a minister's convention, and I heard someone preach. I can't even remember the bishop's name at the moment. It just slips from my tongue. But he preached on the eagle. And when he preached on the eagle, this is actually the overseer for the Church of God of Prophecy, the man who was overseer at the time. He preached on the fact that the eagle soars high above every other flying, you know, creature, and how the eagle, when the eagle soars, it spreads its wings out. And the magnificence of this creature, this bird, is, you know, just far goes, outdoes any other flying creature. And how the strength, the agility of the eagle is beyond our comprehension, because it soars so high. And then it could quickly swoop down and pick up something in its beak and then swoop back up again. I want you to know that just the way that God allows that eagle to land and just immediately swoop back into the sky, I want you to know that God can also allow you that same agility and that same strength to be able to get up, to be able to soar, to be able to keep moving, to be able to be strengthened and encourage. Dear friend, do you need encouragement right now? God says He will renew your strength. Do you need someone to pat you on the back? I want you to know that you're being patted on the back right now. Do you need a hug? Well, God is sending you a hug right now. Be encouraged, dear friend, because God has your best interests at heart, and he is still watching over you. He is still sending his angels to stand guard around you. And I want you to know that throughout life, we do have challenges. But, dear friend, whatever challenges you face, you will never, ever face them alone, because God is with you even now to comfort you, to strengthen you, and to help you. So, dear friend, hold on just a little while longer. If you were about to let go, don't let go, but allow God to give you strength. Our key verse for all of our lessons is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, I don't know what you have been trying to accomplish. Like I said, whether it is trying to open a business or whether you're trying to go back to school, you know, it's never too late to go back to school to get that GED. It's never too late to go back to school to get that college degree or to get that vocation. Whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, dear friend, it is never too late to begin again. And so I just want to pray with you, because if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your time to do that. And if you are already a Christian, I just want to encourage you to do more for God. Draw closer to God. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in studying the Word of God. And as we draw close to another new year, I pray that you would remember to put God first and foremost in your life, in your personal life, and also if you're the head of your household, please direct your family to God. Bring them to Sunday school. Bring them to church. Help them to understand the things of God, because if God has put you in charge of that family, then he expects you to direct them towards himself. Give God praise, because he is our heavenly Father. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Lord, for this moment that we were able to study the Word of God together. Lord, I pray for those that are listening right now, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them. Remember their families, oh God. I pray for their children and all the family members in their family. I pray for people at home and abroad, oh God. Remember countries, Lord, in those people in India, in Russia, Czechoslovakia, different places, oh God, countries that I don't even know the names, God. You know those people. Remember the African nations, oh God. We pray for all the nations, all the different little places in the continent of Africa. We pray, oh God, that you would remember those that are fighting for their freedom. We pray for those that are still warring in places in the Middle East. Oh God, that you'll remember those people, oh God. And Father, remember the innocent little ones, God, the children that are in need of food and shelter, oh God. Remember families everywhere, God. Remember those that are sick. We know that you're able to heal them. Heal lupus right now. Heal AIDS right now. Heal cancer right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for that one with that pain in the very bottom of their back right now, going close, oh God, to their bottom, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you would truly heal right now. We pray, oh God, for meningitis, oh God, that you would heal those with meningitis, oh God, and bronchitis right now, in the name of Jesus. Hepatitis C, oh God, we pray for them right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, all types of tumors, oh God, are disappearing right now. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We know that you're able to heal, that you're able to deliver, that you're able to set free those that are bound with addictions right now, alcohol and drugs. We know that you're able to instantaneously deliver, and we thank you right now for your healing touch in the lives of your people. Lord, I pray that you would bless right now. Remember those in China and Japan. Oh, God, remember those in the European countries, oh, God, in France and Italy and Spain, oh, God, London, oh, God, over in Ireland and Scotland, God. We pray, Lord God, that you would reach, oh, God, over to Australia and the neighboring places to Australia. Oh, God, remember those in the Caribbean and in Central America, oh, God, Brazil and all those places, oh, God. We pray, Lord God, that you would truly move in a special way. I thank you, Lord God, for hearing and for answering our prayers. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you so much for studying with me. I thank you so much for praying with me. And I just want to leave at least one song with you when we all get to heaven. One more song.
10 John chapter 8. You get in a second chance.
No answer no more.
Come on.
and the hills are steep. But oh, I sing no more. Oh, I sing no more. Oh, I sing no more. I know the road is rocky and the hills are steep. But oh, I sing no more.
You know the Bible was a woman and she was a little brat. So the people in the neighborhood are beef and a watch. One day she go mess up and get caught in the act. So them bring her up to Jesus and them put her on the spot. The scribes and the Pharisees, them really love to chat. So them draft the law from way round the back. According to Moses, she figured a big rock. Right now, Lord, what you think about that?
Hey, I sin no more.
Jesus said,
I sin no more.
I know the road is rocky and the hills are steep.
But I sin no more.
If you have not sinned,
I sin no more.
Already knew that it was just a little trap, and it wasn't just a woman they were trying to stop. So with infinite wisdom, Christ wisely react by stooping to the ground and stand right on the top. Jesus didn't say a word, he answered them not. But them a ning 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 and them wouldn't stop chat. So he rose from the ground and he spoke to the flock and said, if you have all sinned, then flee the first round.
Who ain't sin no more?
Jesus said,
who ain't sin no more? And the hills are steep.
Come on,
but go and sing no more. Go and sing no more. Go and sing no more.
I know the road is rocky and the hills are steep,
but go and sing no more.
One by one, two by two, everybody sneak off. Everybody feel long, them becks, nobody not laugh. None of them no sneeze, and nobody not cough. Only Jesus and the woman left, turn up and attack. If the people them will catch you, could not condemn you, then I, Jesus, have chosen to forgive you. Walk with your me sister, no make them stop you. Just take this little piece of advice me, I give you.
Go and sin no more.
Jesus said,
go and sin no more. And the hills are steep, but go and sing no more.
Don't you, Jesus?
Go and sing no more.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and sing no more.
Oh, oh, oh.
The road is rocky and the hills are steep, but go and sing no more.
Was a woman and she was a little brat. So the people in the neighborhood are peep and a watch. One day she go mess up and get caught in a the act. So they bring her up to Jesus and them put her on the spot. The scribes and the Pharisees, them really love to chat. So them traffic, they laugh from a way round her back. According to Moses, she figured a big rock. Right now, Lord, what you think about that?
Go and sing no more.
Jesus said,
go and sing no more. And the hills are steep, but go and sing no more.
You have a chance,
Jesus. Go and sing no more. Go and sing no more.
I know the road
is rocky and the hills are steep,
yeah.
But go and sing no more. Go and sing no more.
Let's have a chance.
Go and sing no more.
Yes.
I know the road is rocky and the hills are steep,
yes,
but go and sing no more.
Thank you for my
you were just listening to Go and Sin No More, or actually Sin No More, by Second Chance Ministries out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. You've been listening to Vision. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to have you join me again. May the Lord bless you and your family. Remember that this is your season to be blessed. And don't allow the enemy to stress you, because this is your season to be blessed. God bless you, and have a good night.
Mr. Summer, we bless still with food. Me and Ronnie got the blessings are running down. Me and David, they
not stressed.
Imagine cause I'm talking about the cover of the world. I'm too blessed to
be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one-ninted. I'm the one-ninted to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to